Is this mic on? Can you guys hear me all right? All right. Okay, so as Pastor mentioned, we're going to continue today, this evening, our study of Colossians. And just recall that Paul is writing this letter to the new believers in Colossae. It was around 60 AD while he was imprisoned in Rome. And Paul first talked about the preeminence of Christ and what Christ has done. Later, he talked about what Christians should do and how they should live their lives. And he is now wrapping up his letter and giving his final instructions and greetings. And I was assigned to speak on chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, which in the New International Version reads, "Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea, and to Nympha and the church in her house." It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot in these two sentences to discuss, but in my limited experience, I've seen that Paul always writes with clear intent and purpose. So why did Paul write these verses? Could they just have been left out? As I analyzed this further, my search came up with a few points that I'd like to share with you today. First, let's focus just on the first line, which reads, "Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings." Each word, as well as the order of each word, matter as much then as they do now. And since today is Father's Day, and because some of the dads out there might have been grilling before it rained, I thought I could use a food reference for an example of a grammatical point. So if I said, "We enjoyed the delicious hot dogs and the hamburgers," what would be your opinion of the hot dogs? Favorable, I would think. Well, what about the hamburgers? Well, let me reread the phrasing. "We enjoyed the delicious hot dogs and the hamburgers." So now we see that the hamburgers may not have been delicious, since they were just described as hamburgers. There's a real subtlety here, and Paul's words, as all his letters were carefully constructed, reflect this. So Paul describes Luke as our dear friend, or in other Bible versions, as the beloved physician, whereas he refers to Demas only as Demas. And it wasn't until I read some of the commentaries that I realized what was reflected by Paul's words. First off, we could assume that Paul was just really close to Luke, and in fact, he was. Luke accompanied Paul on most of his third missionary journey and also sat with him a lot while he was in prison in Rome. So it is not a big wonder why Paul referred to Luke as a dear friend. Now, who is Demas? He is oftentimes referred to as the one who strayed. Paul mentions Demas a few times in his letters. The first time was in Philemon 24. "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers." Here, Demas was believed to be in Paul's favor, just like the other men mentioned. Next, we hear of Demas in our current Colossians message, without any descriptors. And finally, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, while Paul was awaiting trial, he wrote, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica." Loving the world means loving a society without God. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, it states, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." So it is not clear which worldly attitude Demas displayed, but either way, he deserted Paul at a time when he was in need, as was the growing church. It may be a daily occurrence when we see ourselves drifting from God, just as I saw myself do so a couple of weeks ago in an incident involving my wife. There are temptations all around us, and be assured that the devil will surely tempt us. As followers of Christ, we must display self-control and have a generous spirit wanting to serve others always. So while preparing for this sermon, I too was reminded of this principle. More so, I was reminded of the lack of this behavior in me during that incident with my wife. If we follow these principles, then we can avoid being like Demas, the one who strayed. Moving on to the next line, in verse 15, Paul gives greetings to the brothers and sisters in Laodicea, which was a city located 10 miles northwest of Colossae. And why was Paul greeting people in a different city, and especially since he had never met them? Remember Paul's mission. That was to spread the good news of Christ. He was reaching out to other churches, and as theorized in Peter O'Brien's biblical commentary, Paul wanted to cement relations between the churches in Colossae and the church in Laodicea. Paul was also interested in their spiritual welfare. Paul also sends greetings to Nympha and the church in her house. The early Christians often met in homes, as church buildings were not common until the 3rd century. And remember that Paul was living in the 1st century. And one of my early first introductions to Christianity was the monthly prayer service that my in-laws, who you all know as Tapan and Sandia, would hold. I remember how a whole neighborhood of people would gather with oftentimes standing room only crowds in their Jersey City home. There was such a diversity of people who gathered that my young and maturing wife would ask, "Why are all these hoodlums coming to our house?" Tapan would answer that we are all in need of Christ. They would all sing songs and worship Christ and then enjoy a meal together. Attending these services was truly witnessing a church within a home. It just shows that the specific location of where we meet is not as important as why we meet. In fact, we should all strive to make our homes into churches where a holiness is present and we all are in fear of the Lord. So after having read through Colossians, it is truly amazing to see how much depth of material there was. Even seemingly simple and straightforward lines like the ones we heard today can convey a message. And in closing, we should all learn from Paul and his greetings. As defined by Merriam-Webster, a greeting is something that is said or done to show people that you are happy to meet them or see them, or a message that expresses good wishes to someone. We should always be happy to meet or see our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter their gender, race, or socioeconomic background. Today, I pose a small challenge for all of us, and that is to greet someone outside your deacon group or friend circle in this church. A bigger challenge would be to meet and greet someone outside of this church, whether it be in a different city, state, or country, just as Paul did. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that through Christ's sacrifice that you truly are our Father. And Lord, we have sat and listened to our brothers. We've prepared ourselves. And we found your word to be the greatest thing we have besides you and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask you for clarity of thought. We ask that above all else, that you be glorified in this message tonight. Father, we thank you for the opportunity, for what you've taught us, and for the fact that we've come closer together with our brothers. And Lord, again, I ask you to assist me, guide me, speak through my lips, and be glorified in all that's said and done, in Christ's name. My references were taken from the MacArthur Study Bible, which I found to be a golden book. I really enjoy it. We've come now to the conclusion of our expository messages in the book of Colossians. Through this experience, those of us who have participated have seen God's Word become more alive in each of our lives. We've supported each other with words and prayer, and found a new respect and appreciation for our pastor and for each other. Plus, you have heard the word preached in many different ways, I'm very thankful to have been part of this time in God's Word. In recap of the Colossians, we see Paul's personal matters, his greetings, his thankfulness and prayer for the Colossian church, his doctrinal instruction in Christ's deity, his own ministry, and false philosophy. In the last part of the book, he gives us practical exhortations about Christian conduct, Christian households, Christian speech, and Christian friends. Tonight, we're going to look at the last three verses of the book. Paul often dictated his letter to a manumiss or recording secretary, but would often pen his own greeting at the end of his letters, hence in verse 18. I've always been amazed at how Pastor Bragg can take these so-called connecting verses and bring the gospel to light. These three verses are a very great example of this. When you put yourself in the setting of verse 16, you begin to see Paul's love for his flock. His goal was to make each church aware of the needs and shortcomings of the others, which prompted prayer and seeking God's grace and strength for themselves and the other churches. Through this, they learned to lean on Christ alone and truly love and support each other. This is also true for 21st century Christians. The letter from Laodicea is said to be the epistle to the Ephesians, a circular letter which was intended for several churches in the region. Tychius may have delivered Ephesians to the church at Laodicea first. Through each of these letters, Paul pointed each believer away from self-trust to trusting only in Christ, by exalting Christ to his rightful place in the heavens, in the world, and in our hearts. I can't wait to see our Heavenly Father, but I sure want to meet the Apostle Paul also. It had to be tough to communicate through letters instead of face to face. I believe this was God's will so that it would worship Him, God, instead of Paul, and Paul would be alone with God to pen half of the glorious gospel which saves sinners like us. Glory be to God. In verse 17, Paul exhorts Archippus to fulfill his ministry, much like he did Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4:5, we see Paul's wisdom and his love for these younger men as he reminds them of their responsibility to God's Word. Paul was extremely thankful and proud to be part of their ministry. We've already covered the first part of verse 18. In the last part of this verse, Paul mentions his chains. Paul penned Ephesians, Philemon, Colossians, Philippians, and Philippians between A.D. 60 and 62, of course, while he was in prison. Think of the presence of the Holy Spirit in Paul's life at this time. Think of how blessed Paul was to have written 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. For a man who started out killing Christians, this is a true witness of God's amazing grace and power, and the same power he uses today for our salvation. Glory be to God. In the statement, "Remember my chains," Paul asked for prayer to endure and voiced his longings to see and touch his fellow believers. What a sacrifice he made for the good of the gospel and for our salvation. Thank the Lord for his grace in Paul's life each time you read the Bible. And remember, it's the same grace and power in your life today. With the last statement, "Grace be with you," Paul again points to Christ. Paul knew where his strength came from God alone. To define the book of Colossians in one verse, it would be chapter 1, verse 17. "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Glory and honor to the Father for his wonderful plan of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ." During this exercise in the book of Colossians, two things became abundantly clear to me. The responsibility of handling God's Word and the fact that this exercise was a whole lot like basic training for the U.S. Army. The statement, God's Word says it all. It's His Word, and it takes His Spirit to reveal it to us through prayer and humility of heart with the Holy Spirit leading the way. I am humbled and thankful that God allowed me to have this experience. In basic training, I was always aware that what I was learning would enhance my chances of survival in wartime. Much like the Colossian experience, where the commander-in-chief, through the Holy Spirit, taught our preachers in training how to survive and become better soldiers for Christ. Fellow Christians, we are truly in a spiritual warfare, but the same Lord and Savior that inspired Paul to write Colossians is the same Lord and Savior that keeps us every minute of every day. Look upward, not inward. To Him be all the glory, for He alone is worthy. Thank you for your attention and prayer. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your Spirit and your leading in the Apostle Paul's life that penned this book that we can take freely and learn of you through your Spirit. Lord, again, humbly, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the closeness that I've came to my brothers and how we, like the Colossians, banded together to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for the life that Jason talked about that's in our hearts because of your Son. Lord, bless the rest of this service, and to you be the glory forever. Amen.